at First Lutheran Church in Minot, North Dakota. The Old Testament reading today is from Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 through 2a and 14 through 18. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah, Euphrates, and served other gods. Now, therefore, revere the Lord in faithfulness in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now, if you serve the Lord this day, whom you will serve, whether beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, whose land you for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the lands. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 34, verses 15 through 22, and will be read responsively. "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from all. He keeps all their bones, not one of them will be broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." The New Testament reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak." The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the sixth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from the heavens, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in a synagogue in Capernaum. When many of the disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of God ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe, and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked himself, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
You may be seated. Well, today we're going to talk a bit about armor, about bread, and about prayer. And some of you may be shocked to find out that I don't think I have any Lord of the Ring references in this sermon, even while we talk about armor. Anyways, we're going to begin a little bit by talking about who or where it is that we place our trust. Generally, at least for me, our natural inclination is to trust just about anything but God. We could think of it maybe as gearing up with the armor of the world that tells us that we have to keep ourselves safe. We have to bestow upon us our own glorious identity, or that we have to look to the world to give us some kind of value. And it is in those things then we kind of usually place our trust. The world, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, as Paul calls it in Ephesians, those things have a really strong pull on us as humans and where it is that we place our trust, and then, of course, how we then live. The church has usually thought of this pull as sin. And the way we place our trust and our hope in anything but God is sin. This is how Luther defines sin, basically. He said, sin is not trusting God, and it's being so turned in on oneself or simply staring at one's belly button that you pay no attention to what is going on in the world. So sin is not trusting God. Essentially, it's what it boils down to. And so it's easy for us then to fall into the trap of trusting the things of this world, power, wealth, popularity, and even ourselves over anything of God. And let's be honest, some of the flaming arrows, again, that we hear about in Ephesians are just as likely to be shot by ourselves at ourselves than from somewhere else, with shame and guilt and other things that we weigh ourselves down in. So as we talk today a little bit about armor, I don't want us to mistake this as promoting violence or aggression towards the other or against our enemies or something like that, whoever that may be. Paul, who likely wrote this text in Ephesians, was living in an occupied territory where he and his people were oppressed by the Roman Empire. He himself was in jail. He likely saw Roman military folks in their armor, bantering all kinds of military might around the streets and in his communities where he lived. So this is where I think it can be interesting for us to then take these words of Paul and compare the armor of God with the armor of the world. The armor of God being what we trust, what we're called to trust in, but the armor of the world being that which is so easy to trust. So the suit of armor maybe could look something like this that we could easily trust in this world. If it was Paul looking out into the community, or even us today looking out into the world we live, maybe it sounds something like, we fasten on the belt of attaining the perfect body and mocking those who are in worse shape than we are. We wear the breastplate of maybe a t-shirt or a sticker or a pin that states our political views and mocks someone with differing opinions from ourselves. Maybe we put on the shoes that will help make sure that we are always moving and always busy. working harder and harder to do more and more, but never stopping to enjoy the life that God has given us. Maybe the armor of this world looks something like taking up our shield of selfishness and standing behind it, holding it so tight that we're not able to think about anyone else but ourselves, making sure we're so concerned with staying behind that shield that we can't see what others are enduring on the other side or even care. This world is putting on a helmet of a closed, unchanging mind, the Holy Spirit's life. This helmet media keep where we share half-truths and type insults about people we've never even before or know who they are. We can click around on the internet and find it to confirm, want to hear, and what we already hold to be true. These are just some possible examples of what our own armor of the world that we might use in our daily lives look like. What are some other examples maybe that popped into your head about armor that we choose over God's armor? I'm sure you could come up with some more and probably some better ones than I have, but you see the point, hopefully. Even our text in Joshua today, which you probably recognized from many living room cross stitches and or wall art, where we are called to choose this day who we will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Either the false security of other gods or choosing to trust the living God. It's kind of the same question back then that Paul faces in Ephesians that I think we still face today. We know where life comes from and we long to choose and to trust the living God, but yet, time and time again, we place our trust in other things. Because, of course, we're human. We fail at this, which is why we need the salvation that was won for us through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, which comes directly from God's steadfast love and faithfulness, not our faithfulness, God's faithfulness. But there is an element of choosing which armor we're going to strive for, who we are going to try and serve, or, as Jesus says in our gospel reading, what bread are we going to seek after? There is the armor that the world tries to get us to wear, but the whole armor of God, it's just so different. Yes, God's armor is meant to protect us from the flaming arrows that will come our way, but it does not release us from caring about others facing those same arrows and struggles of the world. I mean, God didn't say, go and build a big old castle wall, dig a moat, lock the door, and require a secret handshake to enter so that you can remain clean and safe and away from the world. Rather, God's armor is designed for us to leave the comfort and familiarity of a building and enter into the messiness and the chaos of the world. God calls us to go out and stand firm, not stand firm behind the door. And God calls us then to trust not in our own armor or the armor of the world, but rather trusting in what God has already provided for us. It seems to me like God's armor is meant for us to be mobile and moving, out and about. We even get a choice of footwear in Ephesians, ensuring whatever we have on our feet makes us ready to proclaim the gospel, the good news of God's love for all people through this life, death, and resurrection of Christ. God did not intend for us to preach the gospel from behind a locked door or safely up in a tower somewhere. God calls us, that's you and me, the church, to step out into the world and serve despite those flaming arrows and the present darkness that may be there. We have Jesus' words in the gospel today that help us have the confidence and the strength to go out and do this. Although I will admit that Jesus' words in the beginning are a bit weird on the surface, where he says, eat his flesh and drink his blood. If I was listening to his disciples back then, I might have been one of those that said, Jesus, this is weird. I don't know if I can follow this. But we understand, of course, that his words remind us that our life comes from a far deeper place than simply eating real bread. The bread that came down from heaven, Jesus Christ, is meant for you and for me and for the whole world so that we may receive true life, real life, not the life that the world offers, but the life that God intends for us. I mean, at least 7 times in our gospel text, we hear some form of the word life or living. I mean, this bread that Jesus offers, which is himself, this bread is where it's at. And although it's hard to articulate sometimes into words, most of us might understand the difference between regular old earthy bread and the bread that Christ offers us, which brings with it true life. That bread of true life kind of sinks in deeper and gives us a purpose and a comfort and a hope that is hard sometimes to explain, but it is there, and that is faith being stirred up in us. Now, Simon Peter, at the end of the gospel, making the statement that we now sing almost every week before reading the gospel, states the truth. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. I mean, people of God, where else can we turn? There are, of course, lots of voices and allegiances and allures of the present darkness in this world trying to offer us some kind of false or empty hope and life. But we know and we trust that Christ is the one who has the words that bring wholeness and life to us, not because we've earned it, but because God offers and gives it to us freely. So the final part of God's armor in Ephesians is actually something I missed the first few times I read it this week, but then I actually realized I don't know if I'd ever really caught this part of the armor before. Maybe you noticed it this week as well. It happens in the last section. The final piece of armor, it's prayer. Prayer seems to be kind of the final piece that we enter out into the world with. Where else can we turn for life in this scary world? We can turn to God, and we do that through prayer. Prayer for each other, prayer for ourselves, prayer for the hurt of the world, prayer for the darkness and those flaming arrows and those who are shooting them too. Now, I've heard it said that I don't know if prayer changes God's mind, but I know that prayer changes me. For us, as we enter out into this world, prayer is that final piece of the armor. It helps us trust and to live into this new life, and it helps us to know whose we are and where, helps us to place our trust in the living God. So, people of God, having received grace and mercy beyond measure, may we choose this day to trust and to serve the Lord. May we put on the whole armor of God so we may love and serve our neighbors, so we may come to God in prayer and trust that the living bread from heaven is all that we truly need to receive wholeness and new life today and always. Thanks be to God. Amen.